Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Live Dharma Sunday for November 29th, 2015. Koyo Kubosa here. So very, very glad you're able to join us this morning. Well, Thanksgiving is just passed. I know that most people get together with family. And, you know, what occurred to me is family is so precious, and we have so much thanks to give on this particular day. And maybe it's different in other families, but we, of course, we say Happy Thanksgiving, and we might give family members a hug when we meet them, greet them, and I guess you'd call it the over-sentimentality if you got gushy and express things and said, well, you know, how much you mean to me or all of this stuff. Yet we feel it, we think about it, but somehow it's, I don't know what the word is, not right, not smooth or whatever, too sentimental to explicitly say it in words. Times maybe the hug is not enough. Maybe as we get older, we feel this even more so, you know, because we're each time is the last time, as Ichigo Ichie, one of my father's favorite sayings. Ichigo Ichie. Ichigo, Ichi means one. Go means lifetime. And E means meeting. So Ichigo Ichie, one life, whole lifetime, we only meet once. Right now. And this is especially true when you're talking about family because you see them so often. It's easy to take it for granted and it's a routine. And but tomorrow is never guaranteed to anybody. And this year, as usual, you know, if you lose a loved one, particularly the first year when the first holiday season that you take family getting together without that past loved one is particularly nostalgic or emotional, I guess. And it's that way for myself and my late brother passed away in the springtime of this year. And sometimes, like when I see my sister-in-law, my late brother's wife, I really want to express that I'm thinking of my brother. And yet, how do you do that? You know, because otherwise, we get together quite a bit, and you never say anything, and it seems like, well, life's going on, and, you know, we're not thinking about him anymore, sort of. But, of course, we are, and you don't want to be gushy about it. But you also want to be able to share that he's in our minds and hearts and communicate that. So what I came up with is I sent an email to my journal and I said, this is how I feel and I want to be able to express this to you and I don't want to have to be awkwardly doing that every time we meet. So I would like to do a little fist bump. I mean, that's kind of a contemporary greeting among young people, but that's kind of nice. Kind of different. It's kind of like contemporary. But I want you to know, I wrote, when I do this fist bump, it's like hey, this is, I'm thinking of getting together, when I get together with you, I'm getting together with, Don's right there too, my brother. I don't know if she felt it was necessary or, you know, appreciated that, but I think this past Thanksgiving, I think she really did. Came in and we did the fist bump, kind of looked each other in the eye a little bit. We're thinking about Don and this Thanksgiving time. And this reminds me of when we think about the Eightfold Path and the right speech. There's all kinds of right speech. Of course, don't lie, or, you know, but expressing yourself, these kinds of feelings that I'm talking about for a past loved one. So we have right speech, yet think beyond speech. And I guess to be able to appreciate what's unsaid, yet we should be able to communicate it. For these important feelings of our past loved ones, okay, among the family members. It's really nice to have some kind of a, I don't know what you'd call it, a personal shorthand of communication. Okay. Shorthand of communication, well, this reminds me of the tip of the iceberg, where what shows on the surface is only of the iceberg is only 1/10. The whole volume or area of the actual iceberg, 9/10 unseen under the water. And I saw a graphic image of an iceberg, and it was taken, somehow they lit it up from underground so you could, under the water, so you could see the whole iceberg lit up under the surface of the water, and it was huge compared to the tip that was above the surface of the water. And it was a very unusual, well, a photograph, I guess, or maybe it was doctored up or whatever, but it was a nice image. I have it someplace in life. And one time I remember I took this image, and when I gave a Dharma talk, and I titled my Dharma talk Iceberg of Gratitude. And I kind of hesitated calling it Iceberg of Gratitude, because iceberg sounds like you're talking about something that's cold, a coldness. Okay? But really, it's about this 1/10 and then 9/10 unseen, unexpressed. Okay? So the 1/10 is, hey, how you doing? Fist bump or a hug, and yet 9/10 is, man, all the shared experiences with your family, all the sort of implicit, big, unformulated, I guess, expressions of your emotion that you feel of the connection with the family members, because you have shared so much life together, so many years, you know, how can you express that except by maybe a particular look in the eye, cold phrase, cold gesture that gets developed sometimes naturally, or sometimes why not devise one in order to feel that connection with other family members. I might mention something personal that between Adrian and I, my wife, whenever she's leaving on a trip, one of us is maybe leaving on a trip and driving off in the car, we always just flash our index fingers we've been doing this for years and years. We thought maybe one, you know, like one finger for oneness. But we sort of decided between the two of us that this was a private, personalized communication, nonverbal gesture that says, hey, you and I are one. And I think it also has come to mean, hey, drive careful now. Okay? You come home safe. It's you and me now. Okay? And we need these kind of something beyond the right speech to share, particularly with our family members. Okay. I want to introduce our guest to give us a Dharma glimpse today, Michelle Joyo. And she's from Florida, lives in Florida. She was part of our Lay Minister LM6 group. And she's very active with local Sangha in Florida, together with her husband, Morris Secchio, who was part of the LM3 group. And I remember when she attended his induction ceremony here at Course Code, the Bright Dawn Center in Course Code. And then 3 years later, she started the program. And that's beautiful when you have a couple sharing the Dharma work together. That's really, really nice. So for today's Dharma Glimpse, if I could call upon Michelle Joyo.
Hello and happy Sunday. So the season of shopping is upon us, or so the internet tells me anyway. Now I want to emphasize that there is nothing wrong with buying gifts for your friends and loved ones. It's a nice gesture, it's very generous, and it makes people happy, and I'm never against things that make people happy. But when we're turning our backs on people who need our help, and then we're getting into fistfights with each other over televisions at Walmart on Black Friday, it might be time to examine whether we've lost the plot. We live in a consumer-driven culture, and it is really, really difficult to not be inundated with marketing. I think that the antidote to this, though, is generosity. As someone who grew up poor, I have to say that without the generosity of others, I would not be who or where I am today. I wouldn't have had some of the things that I've had and some of the more troubling times in my life, let's say, would have probably been a lot worse had it not been for the kindness and generosity of other people. These same people modeled for me how important it was to be a generous person. And in the same vein, growing up poor allowed me to understand and recognize certain patterns of behavior. People who grew up in similar situations to mine, who spend money and as soon as they get it, because they want something that they will have, something that's truly theirs. Is it theirs, though? I don't know. I don't think anything ever really truly belongs to us. I think the more we buy, the more our personalities become intertwined with our possessions until we are no longer the possessor, but the ones possessed. We're possessed by having and clinging and needing and wanting. And so rather than allowing that to happen to us, it's maybe a good thing to try to put a stop to that cycle. Maybe we can start spending money on those who are in need rather than on things we don't need. Now, I'm a huge fan of Dickens, and it is the season now, so I do want to talk a little bit about Dickens' Christmas Carol and some little Dharma nuggets that occur in there. So in A Christmas Carol, Ebenezer Scrooge is visited by a series of ghosts. And one of those ghosts is the ghost of Christmas present, who is the embodiment of abundance. Now, at one point at the behest of Scrooge, the spirit opens his robes to reveal two small, withered children, and he calls them Ignorance and Want. And he says to Scrooge, "The boy is ignorance, and this girl is want. Beware them both in all of their degree, but most of all, beware this boy. For on his brow I see that written, which is doom, unless the writing be erased. So he's telling Scrooge, beware of ignorance more than want. Well, in this case, want is innocent. Want represents the poor and downtrodden, which are common themes in Dickensian novels anyway, and the realities of the 1800s when Dickens was writing the story. Ignorance, though, ignorance is what causes want. Want means poverty, it means hunger, it means craving and need. Ignorance is Ebenezer Scrooge himself. Ignorance is what allows people and people like him to turn away from and to ignore want. Scrooge spent his days in ignorance, contributing to want. I mean, when visited earlier in the novel by the solicitors collecting for the poor, Scrooge says to one of them, "It's not my business." It's enough for a man to understand his own business and to not interfere with other people's. Mine occupies me constantly. Well, the ghost of Christmas present awakes Scrooge's heart to embrace abundance. And by doing so, he makes Scrooge understand that generosity is what leads to abundance. A generous person cannot be ignorant of poverty. A generous person wipes away want. Now, given all that's going on in the world right now, think about how much want there is. Want for safety and shelter, for a home. Want for food, for warmth. Want for human kindness. Now think about how much ignorance there is and ask yourself whether you're contributing to that or whether you have a heart of abundance. The Buddha spoke often of generosity. In the Pali Canon, he extolled the virtues of a generous nature. He said, if beings knew, as I know, the results of giving and sharing, they wouldn't eat without having given, nor would the stain of selfishness overcome their minds. Even if it were their last bite, their last mouthful, they would not eat without having shared. If there were someone there to receive their gift. But because beings do not know, as I know, the results of giving and sharing, they eat without having given, and the stain of selfishness overcomes their minds. So like Scrooge, allow your heart to be open to abundance, and like the Buddha, practice giving and sharing. Be abundance. Abandon ignorance and remove want. Thank you.
You just kind of jotting down notes. That's so nice. Be abundance. You know. Go beyond that ignorance. That selfishness contains the core, that core of ignorance, of the reality of how much we have received from others. Yeah. To be a generous person, of course, generous in the sense of giving and helping others materially. But I think to tie it in with some of my sentiments earlier that I expressed, to be generous in terms of sharing with others what you really feel about the importance of them as a person in your life. One way is through this right speech thing, well, by avoiding wrong speech. Let me put it that way. Because a constant battle, I think, is in a household. Maybe I'm just projecting, but I don't think so. Is from the saying, familiarity breeds contempt. Now, that's putting it pretty strongly, but sometimes we treat, one minister used to give the advice to for couples, tell the husband, treat your wife like she's your neighbor's wife. And this doesn't mean, okay, well, you're more polite, courteous to your neighbors or other such acquaintances and friends than you are to your own family members. Now, one way you could look at this is that the family members, your relationship is so solid, you know, that even if you get upset with each other, okay, it's within the context of a strong relationship. Whereas if you acted that way towards an acquaintance, he's never going to have anything to do with you again. The family members, the bond is so strong that you that it can withstand slights and you know, ignoring and things like this. But isn't that ironic that the ones we love the most, we exhibit wrong speech a lot of the times? Not all the time, of course. But, gee, we can be so abrasive and cold, and it's hard. We could have all the best intentions of right speech. Well, like I said, it's more avoiding the wrong speech. Or if you do it, don't do it, well, or get over it right away. Instead of letting it, sometimes there is a thunderstorm. Okay? That's much better than an all-day drizzle, if you know what I mean, with resentment and that kind of thing, cold treatment for several days. That's really not healthy for anybody. But what I thought about was a nice little story here about avoiding wrong speech, about interpersonal, you know, particularly with, I think, with a spouse. We could be more polite to siblings or, but I know even on that relationship, family relationship, we don't show courtesy and so forth, consideration, okay, on all levels of family relations, but particularly between spouses, we get impatient, short-sighted, and things like this. We don't think it's somehow worth the effort, you know, that it takes some effort to kind. Okay. We shouldn't suffer fools lightly, you know, and we have to have a lot of patience and so forth. But I was thinking about a story, and this is nice with, this is one of my original influences for code words, code phrases that sometimes couples develop that they exchange. And nobody else might know what these words mean. It's a secret, but it's just individualized and personalized. Something that helps their relationship. Okay? Like I was mentioning other examples that I mentioned earlier. But this one was, I read it, I don't know who the author was, but this couple was, they had been a Peace Corps volunteer in a foreign country, or maybe only one of them was, and then they learned something and they shared this later with when they got married. But anyway, Corps volunteers in the third world country, and the term was up and they're getting ready to leave their assignment, and there was a local boy, young boy, who gave them a farewell gift, and it was a sort of a seashell. And they knew that this seashell was only available on the seashore, which was a long way off. And so when they received this gift, they told the boy, "Gee, you have to walk a long way to get this gift." And the boy smiled and he said, "Long walk, part of gift." And that really touched them, this person. Okay. And And so later, years later, when this couple, they always, this was a strong memory, you know, long walk, part of gift. How can you apply this as a life teaching? Well, the way they did it was they noticed that whenever they were preparing for, well, Thanksgiving or a social gathering that they were hosting in their home, you have to do, that's a stressful time, actually. You got to vacuum, you got to make sure you got the napkins, you got the all these details. Since you're the host, you prepare things. It's a stressful time, and sometimes you start barking at each other. Hey, didn't I tell you to? Or, you know, if the other person's not meeting the schedule or doesn't seem to be as invested as you are in getting things right or whatever the situation is. And again, it's ironic, isn't it, that you're preparing for a happy occasion and you start squabbling. This is bad. And so this couple said, we need to help each other in these kinds of situations to remind ourselves what's really important here. Okay. Even though we have to deal with just the merely urgent. Okay. And that's a nice phrase I like. Don't forget what's truly important just because we've got to deal with all these urgent things. So they adopted this phrase from their Peace Corps experience with the boy. And when things got stressful in preparing their home, all the preparations, they would look at each other and say, long walk. Or maybe they say, long walk, part of gift. It means, you know, the means is just as important as the end. Okay? The means being the preparation, for the, and then the end being the party, the get-together. People start arriving. Hey, relax. Enjoy, unquote, the preparation phase two. This is should be part of the happy occasion that you're sharing. The preparation is part of the event itself. You know? I think this is a beautiful thing, and I try to incorporate it in my personal life too. Okay. Well, that's all for today's broadcast. Till next time, keep going, and you have a very beautiful day.